Are you ready to get intimate? Because now is the time, and this is the place. I'm Dr. K, and I'm ready to get intimate with you. This is the show for everyone who is not afraid to get intimate on some level. That's right. This is a show all about intimacy. Different perspectives, different topics, different views. One purpose. Join me on this journey to go deep, get raw, get real, and get intimate. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. What's up, everybody? It's Dr. K coming at you with another intimate moment. And what's on my mind tonight? You know, I'm thinking a lot about dry texting. You're going, what the fuck is she talking about? Yeah. You know, first off, why don't we just ditch that one word response? You know what I mean? Like, okay. Texting a new crush is a lot like playing ping pong, you guys. You're going to say something, then they're going to say something. You're going to say something again, and then they're going to say something. And then you eventually make plans to get a jalapeno margarita and maybe make out. Well, maybe not. I don't know. But anyway, none of that can happen if the conversation never gets off the ground. You know, if you've been trying to gauge your new flame's interest and they're not giving you much work or not much effort with maybe they're sending you one-word responses. Maybe they're taking hours upon hours to respond. You might be dealing with a dry texter. And so dry texting is what happens when someone sends you a short reply that doesn't move the conversation forward. And it's usually going to consist of one-word answers like the dreaded K. Oh, God, I hate that. And then when you're just getting to know someone, it can be hard to tell if someone's just not into you or just not into texting. You know, who knows? Anything can go these days. We're in 2021, right? Well, anyway, while you could throw your screenshots up in the group chat and let all your friends decipher their texts, or maybe you have old episodes of Love Island to watch on Netflix. God, I don't know, you guys. You know, more important things to do, and maybe you don't want to invest even more time and energy into a conversation that might be going nowhere. So if you think your texts are fizzling out, or maybe you want to see where your crush is at, here, you know what? Dr. K is going to give you a little bit of everything you need to know about dry texting, including how to spot it and how to stop it and how to know when it comes to taking the L. L for loss, or maybe loser. You know, you kind of feel like a loser at that moment. So what is dry texting? Well, dry texting, first off, is what happens when someone gives you a short, non-engaging reply and in texting conversation. So basically, a great example of dry texting is a person who always starts the conversation with, hey, followed by what's up. And that's about as exciting as it's going to get all night, all day, every day, you know? For obvious reasons, this type of messaging is going to be a bit exhausting, because when your crush isn't adding anything to the conversation, you may feel pressure to keep the back and forth going, especially if they're super hot and you want to maybe kiss their face. But don't worry just yet. In every conversation from a new crush to a full-on partner, some dry texting is totally expected at the beginning, right? But it shouldn't continue, right? Even the hottest, most passionate couples, and I'm talking about couples, yep, will go through periods when conversation lulls. One partner could be tired, stressed out, maybe feeling sick, or just burning the candle at both ends. So a conversation that gets a little bit dull doesn't mean game's over, people. For some, texting is just a tool to make plans, maybe to meet up. I don't know what else you guys are doing back there, but that's your business, not mine. So anyway, just don't assume the conversation is drying up because they're not interested. Keep in mind that dry texting is typically a consistent pattern of one-word answers or fizzing conversation. So someone hitting you with a hey or a K okay every once in a while doesn't mean the conversation is dried up. So what are some examples of dry texting? You guys want some examples? Yeah, I got some. You know, guys, it's hard to spot dry texting from just one single message. Someone, I hate this. You ever fucking send me a thumbs up? I'm gonna be your worst enemy. But anyway, thumbs up can also be a bit of responding maybe just to your last message or ha-ha. You know, those ha-ha, hee, hoo. Those are gonna make you maybe want to throw your phone off the cliff. I've been there. Dry texting means a series of fruitless conversation. So here's what the Dr. K has to say for what to look out for. Number one, repeatedly sending one-word answers. Okay, get it. Number two, keeping conversation short and maybe not asking more questions or engaging you in conversation. Number three, ignoring or glossing over photos, links, or memes that you sent. I hate it when I send a picture. Not that kind of picture, you guys. But when I send a picture and you totally miss the point, you miss the mark. You know, I get it. You're not even paying attention. You're not paying attention because it wasn't that other picture. Number four, never texting you first and or never starting conversations. Yeah, get it. I'm still waiting. Number five, leaving you on read for days at a time. You know, that's just like so fucking annoying. What about signs that your dry texting is turning dry? Have you ever thought about that? So here's a dose of reality. Sometimes good, promising conversations will dry up. It's kind of inevitable. Whether your crush isn't over their ex or if they've started texting some new Tinder or Hinge person, they may dry up your conversation rather than tell you directly that they're just not feeling it. So if they're always super quick to respond with fun, upbeat messages, then maybe suddenly you find yourself hanging on read for days. And they may be trying to slowly step away from the conversation and you. So here are some signs of those warning signs. Number one, take longer to get back to you. Oh yeah. When hours turn into days, you guys, that's just went from a pink flag to a red flag. Number two, they send random low effort messages that aren't leading to a date, you know? That's just like why sometimes it's really hard to do long distance relationship. You don't know what the fuck they're doing, and they don't know what the fuck you're doing, but then there's no effort. So why? You know? Number three, they send shorter, less enthusiastic texts. I get it. You know, at that point, don't you get it? Number four, they avoid invitations to meet up, maybe perhaps FaceTime. Oh my God, have you guys ever heard me talk about catfishing? Ooh, well, anyway, they probably make excuses. They maybe cancel plans at the last minute, or they pretend to be completely unaware that you're asking to hang out in real life. Hello, you know? So, how do you prevent dry texting? The first step in stopping dry texting is figuring out for what reason the conversation is gonna dry. Your crush is probably going to be some huge texter, or they may be super busy at work. That's me, you guys. If I'm not texting, there is some fucking good reason, and it's usually because I'm at work. If you're really interested in them, check in with them about the texting. You know, like it's okay to ask. The first step in stopping dry texting is figuring out for what reason the conversation is going dry. Your crush may not be a huge texter, or they may maybe perhaps super busy at work. So if you're really interested in them, check in with them about texting, you know? You're also going to want to get to know the person's communication style, you guys. You know, don't be afraid to ask if they prefer talking on the phone, FaceTiming, or just meeting up. I'm the type that just fucking texts me. If you call me, there has to be some good reason. I just don't have time. If you FaceTime me, you better fucking hope I'm not on the toilet because that's the other additional time that I have my phone on me that I'm not supposed to. So, yeah, okay. Anyway, especially because texting someone, you know, you guys, texting someone you don't know that well is hard, right? So you can't tell their tone. How are you going to tell a tone? You can't even read their body language, and you can't be sure they even know that you were joking when you just sent the Paris Hilton, "Stop, listen, Linda, you know, whatever. Ma'am, ask to hop on the phone or maybe meet in person, maybe give you a better sense of your crush's communication style." You guys, it's also possible that the conversation is turning dry because of something that was said and maybe threw them off. You know, clear the air. And if nothing changes, then you know it's probably that their interest just isn't there. Time to say, "Catch you later, buddy," or to your crush, and maybe get back to Tinder or Hinge. Do whatever you got to do, but keep on moving. Now, if you ask to meet up and it seems a little early or premature, Dr. K suggests switching up your texting style. Think of engaging and thought-provoking questions to ask. Yeah, try asking like, "Hey, what was your best part of your day today?" Or maybe, you know, you mentioned something specific in that they were doing and you keep asking about it. Pay attention. That's number one. Pay attention. In addition to asking more specific questions, Dr. K suggests scaling back the texting a little bit. If you feel like you've been doing all the work, slow your texting and see if your crush picks it back up. Now, a good goal to aim for is a one-on-one ratio, you guys, like in a person conversation. So this means that you should actively try to match their response and maybe the amount of effort that you're putting in, right? I'm also going to suggest that you take a look at your own texting style as well. So if you're texting a crush like you would text your best friend, aka not holding anything back. Ooh, shit. Maybe that's me. I don't know. Texting full on rants and giving play-by-play accounts of your whole entire day. Take a step back. You know, you're just getting to meet your crush. You're not at that point like, "Hey, honey, I'm fucking home. Let me give it to you all. Let me unload." This is not the time. Not the moment either. Steer clear from 300-word mega text. Random text about topics that they know nothing about. Or over texting him to the point that they maybe ran out of things to say. You know, they can't keep up with you. So when is it time to give up? I don't know who needs to hear this, but dating is supposed to be fun. And if you find yourself pacing in your bathroom and totally stressed out about texting conversation in a very early stage, maybe it is time to move on. And if you find the conversation more frustrating than it's fun, it's time to give it up, you guys. If you're still unsure, don't text first and see how long it takes for them to reach out. And if they reach out pretty quickly, the situation might be able to be salvaged with some direct communication. But if it takes days or weeks, it's time to move on. In the event that your crush really doesn't like texting, Dr. K suggests offering a different way to chat, like FaceTiming, hopping on a call, making plans in real life, you guys, etc. But if they're dodging the alternative communicative methods, it's time to take the L, loss, move on. Dr. K notes that if someone's into you, they'll likely figure it out some way, somehow, to chat. And if you don't want to waste your time on someone who's not invested in you, then move on. That said, if you're truly into them and everything seems to click when you are together in person and they hold true to their word and it seems genuinely that they care about you and are, you know, maybe perhaps a dry texter, limit your text exposure to them. Make plans in person. And if they seem as aloof in person that they do via text, just keep moving on. So, okay, now let me ask you guys a question, okay? So now you made it past the dry texting, right? You get past that dry texting stage. And now you're dating and you have your first argument. And you're in the need of apologizing. And you're like me, you know, I'm a Virgo. And I never do anything wrong. Why should I apologize? And apologizing is like a fish out of water for me. So anyway, just kidding. You know, you don't have to be a Virgo to feel like me. Many people in relationships come to some point in their relationship that they have to apologize. Yes, it is true. We are human. At some point, we will need to apologize. So, you guys, you know, relationships are like heartbeats. Heartbeats go up and down. You know, if you're looking at that heartbeat monitor, the lines are consistently going up and down. And so are relationships. You're going to have your highs and you're going to have your lows. And if it goes flat, well, you know what happens if it goes flat? It goes dead. So relationships have their highs and lows. So yeah, at some point you are going to have to apologize. So what if you don't know how to apologize? You know, in similar concept to love language, there is an apology language. And it's about how you give and receive and how you say, and I'm sorry, whether you receive it or you have to give it. That's basically what the apology love language is all about. And while you're probably never put too much thought into what that looks like for you, how you apologize to your partner is actually extremely important to consider, especially since everyone requires something different in order to maybe move past an argument. Some people just need sex. I don't know. Maybe some people just need an apology. It's not about all that. So that's because humans are all wired differently, you guys. And for you, it might be sufficient to hear the words, I'm sorry. You know, you're right. After a hard, long fight. But for someone else, these words, I'm sorry, could probably feel like an empty, maybe like a shallow way of moving past it. You know, people can tell the difference. So let me break it down. Let me break everything down there. You know, it's how to know about apology languages, because as much as I love a good love language, apology language are high key just as important. So whatever language you're using to apologize, those are very high key and they're very important. And as a Virgo woman, I obviously don't do apologies very well. An apology language became a thing. You guys, you know, The Five Languages of Love, that book was written by Gary Chapman. And he also with I think it was Jennifer Thomas, he also wrote the five love languages too of apology. So Chapman basically says that love languages equals how you tell or how you show a person how you love them. Okay. An apology language equals how you tell or show a person you're sorry. In total, there are five apology languages. One, expressing regret, like I feel ashamed for how I hurt you. Two, accepting responsibility. I was wrong for doing that to you. Number three, genuinely repent. Don't be ingenuous. You know, you got to be genuine. And I can only imagine how much pain I caused. I am so sorry. I won't do that again. Next time, I will totally do it differently. Number four, making restitution. This is how I will make it up to you and let them know. And you know, you need to follow through. Don't just tell them, you need to follow through. Number five, requesting forgiveness. Will you forgive me for letting you down? You need to ask for forgiveness. So, assuming you want your relationship to actually look like you work out, apology languages are everything. They allow individuals to strengthen their relationships by improving their ability to facilitate forgiveness. And properly understanding your partner's apology language will help individuals apologize in a manner in which all parties feel heard and valued. In the end goal is to move past an argument with your partner, which in this case, it wouldn't make sense to express regret and accept responsibility if your partner needs you to make restitution feel better about the situation. You know, people speak differently about apology languages, and it's important to understand them to not only gain a deeper understanding of your partner, but also to understand yourself. Misunderstandings may creep in if you and your partner have different apology languages. The only way to avoid them is to know each other's type and to act on it whenever the need arises. So, in conclusion, you guys, communication is absolutely key here. So ask your partner and loved ones to educate themselves on their apology language. So what can you do if you have a different apology language than your partner? Compromise, compromise, compromise. Let's use love languages as an example for sex. If you know your partner's love language is physical touch, despite yours being words of affirmation, you're still going to give them a hug to make them feel appreciated after the tough day, right? Yeah. And you do that even despite the words of affirmation being your love language. Same applies for apology languages. Seek to understand and make intention to practice each other's apology languages as means to become closer and to heal together. This is super crucial, people. If you want to effectively be able to make amends, repair the injury, and grow together. Even if it may feel unfamiliar to request forgiveness or accept responsibility for something, your partner's needs should be considered just as much as your own. And when coming down from an argument, this can be almost entirely figured out via communication, my friends, communication. So there was a common ground in everything that I spoke to you today, an intimate topic, communication. Intimacy is not always about sex. Well, you know, to some people it can be. But to get there, we must communicate effectively. And that's what I wanted to talk to you guys about. So this has been an intimate moment shared between me and you with Dr. K. Tomorrow night, I have a special guest coming on my podcast, and we will wrap up Pride Month, and we are going to talk about some good things. Additionally, I continue to get emails and messages on how people can continue to support me, and there is support for me in if you continually look for information throughout my profile on Spotify, you will see that there are links that will help you support me. I will take all the support I can get at this point. I believe in my dream, and my dream is that I want to touch each and every person's soul. And if there is something that I tell you that makes an impact, then it has all been worth it. Until next time, this has been, again, once again, an intimate moment shared between me and you, Dr. K. Don't miss out. Make sure you subscribe. Peace out and love.